Broadcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Alan Silk. I'm a shareholder at Stark & Stark, and I co-chair our business succession planning group. I've been working with business owners for over three decades in planning their business succession and their personal succession. In today's podcast, the issue I want to discuss became relevant because of a tragedy that occurred in our community just this past weekend. We had a young professional who perished, someone who certainly is had not really thought about retirement at this point, and I have no idea whether or not he had an opportunity to plan any succession. But there are a lot of issues that come up in this type of situation for professionals if they haven't done the planning in advance. We're all mortal. We have no idea when our time may come of either perishing by death or having a disability that would not permit us to, in fact, continue to work in whatever our professional practice is. What I have found is that if we haven't done that planning, even if we are disabled, I'm talking about disabled almost to the point of being incompetent, our families fall into a situation where they have no clue of what to do with the business that we have been practicing within. And I'm talking about solos here. I'm not talking about generally partnerships, because in those instances where they're solos, certainly people do not think about in advance all of these circumstances. I've been asked by a number of different groups at times who are solos to talk about informal type of arrangements where other professionals in their particular industry would band together and enter into some sort of agreement about taking over the practice if there was a disability or a premature death. And I think that these items are items that should be thought out well in advance by all of us, especially if we have responsibilities to spouses and family members. The informal aspect of these agreements are things that really have to be put down onto paper and signed and agreed to by parties. The mere fact that we orally agree to do various things, things happen as life goes on. We really don't even look at them over and over again. We just think about the fact that, well, nothing's going to happen to me, but I've spoken to other people that will come in and help me. The best they can do in helping you, quite frankly, is really closing down a practice and probably just collecting out the payables. Generally, there'll be very little goodwill left at that time for your family to really be able to sell that to a third party. And certainly, you have all the thought process of the staff that have worked for you for a number of years in helping you build up your practice. What happens to them if, in fact, the office closes prematurely? So these are the types of issues that we believe should be put into a formal arrangement among the individuals that you may have in your group that are also professionals in your practice. It's so easy to put it into an agreement to discuss what would happen with regards to taking over the office space, working out arrangements to terminate those leases, what you do with your clients or patients, who is going to take what files, how are those things going to work, what's going to happen with the staff. What payments will be made, and how will you determine the payments for whatever patients or clients that the professionals who take over will pay to the estate or the entity itself for that. But without these things, it really puts everybody in a state of shock and disarray, and certainly what happens is you get very little for the practice. Not to mention there are issues dealing with abandonment of either clients or patients, storage of files, which many of us are required to keep for a number of years. And all these issues at a time that something happens, like a premature death or a disability, are not burdens you want to put on either families or family members or friends who may serve as executors or trustees or administrators of an estate, or guardians, by the way. So that some of the issues that, in fact, all the issues I just discussed can be placed into an agreement among the parties. And now there's nothing to really negotiate at a later date. People understand what their rights and obligations are. If they want out of it, they can give notice. We're not trying to keep somebody into something long term. They can make arrangements in advance for financing. That could even be by a self-financing with terms of a note and interest payments and you know, things that you just don't want to negotiate after the fact. But again, these are the things that I think solos can work on. They may be groups of friends. They could be people that really are at different ages. You may have individuals that want to do this really for their retirement. And if there's a premature death or disability, you know, that's all well and good because all the parties are covered at that time. So these are the normal things that we would talk to the individuals about and try to put into a formal agreement, again, with something that someone could give you notice of their desire to get out of, gives you notice of either bringing somebody else in or making other arrangements to deal with the problem. Now, we all know that buying insurances, whether it be disability insurance or life insurance, overhead insurance, are all things that should also be looked at from the standpoint of dealing with the risk involved of having an early death or disability. But this may be a way of dealing with the practice so that your patients, your clients, your staff members, they have a place to go if something happens to you. I would certainly appreciate calls from people or emails from individuals who have these issues. I'd be happy to give you some insight as to where you can go to get these resolved. My email address is asilk@stark-stark.com, A-S-I-L-K at stark-stark.com, or you can call our general number at 609, area code 896-9060. And again, those issues that you bring up, if I can handle them very quickly for you, I'd be happy to do that. If you'd like to contact us about sitting down with a group of individuals to work out the terms and conditions and what are the open issues for these agreements, we'd be happy to do that also. And again, I think the most important part of that is people should have the ability to get out of this type of arrangement as time goes on. But it's that notice, you know, to you that they have a desire to get out that permits you to either do other things for purposes of finding someone to take over your practice in the case of an emergency or insuring against the risk at a higher level than you had before. Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark and Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark and Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.